All right, me handsomes.
Oh dear, I don't want to switch my phone off, do I? Don's asked me to, well, firstly, good morning, everybody. It's great to be here again. And Don's asked me to read Acts 3, 1 to 16. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them, and entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." He gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I have none, but such I have, I give to thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered in with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was in which sat for alms, was he sat for alms at the beautiful gates of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man was, which was healed, held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we made this man walk? The God of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name through faith, and his name hath made this man strong, whom ye shall see and know ye. The faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in all the presence of all of you." Well, thank you. I'd like to hand back now, bring Don upon up here.
Thank you, Lord, for this this good friend of mine and this wonderful man of God, and we just ask you that you will pour out your Spirit on him this morning so that we can hear your word into us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to be here with you again. I just enjoy being part of this fellowship and sharing with you. You know, as Alan was introducing Nigel to read the scriptures and talking about the Cornishman, I was thinking of the person that I consider one of the greatest Cornishmen who ever lived. And his name was Billy Bray, the king's son. And I want to talk about the king this morning, but you know, one day Billy Bray was reading the scriptures and he was reading the one that Nigel just read, Acts chapter 3. And suddenly he just started jumping and leaping all over the place. And people said, "What's the matter, Billy? Why are you doing that?" He said, "Well, this man had been 40 years and he never walked in 40 years and he got healed. But I've had good legs all the time. And so I wanted to praise God for them." And you know, some of us need to appreciate the goodness of God. And you know, I'm almost 82, but I'm praising God. I'm still going. And you've heard me say before, I want to be still preaching when the Lord comes and takes me. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. And people keep reminding me it's Heather's anniversary of going to be with the Lord. And so I've been singing, "Look out for me, I'm coming too." That's an old chorus that we used to sing way back in the early days of the Charismatic Renewal. Right, there's should be a scripture on the screen that I wanted to just launch into what I want to say today. Proverbs 14:28. "A growing population is a king's glory. A prince without subjects has nothing." And my whole subject this morning is the book of Acts and how God brought the book of Acts into play. One of the guys that used to be part of the church in my early days used to come along and say, "Acts 29 is being written by us." And what sort of Acts 29 could this church write about the church today? Acts 29. How does it compare with chapter 3? How does it compare with the church down in Samaria and all the rest of it? And there are three things that I want to bring out this morning that are major in the book of Acts. Number one, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Give him his rightful place. Amen. Number two, the name of Jesus that produced the miracles and changed the lives of multitudes in the book of Acts. And number three, the kingdom of God. If you read through the book of Acts, you'll find the kingdom of God starts in Acts chapter 1 and verse 3, but then right through the book of Acts, it keeps going back, kingdom of God, kingdom of God, kingdom of God. And there it is in chapter 1. There it is in the last verse of the book of Acts. And there it was down in Samaria and all the place. It was always the kingdom of God. And so the first thing we need to do is establish who the king is. Now, I'm sure most of you would say, "Yeah, the king is Jesus." And it is. And Jesus is the king of the kingdom. He's the one who should be ruling and reigning in our lives, through our lives, and around our lives in all that we're doing. he should be ruling and reigning there. And this is the Jesus that was in Acts chapter 1, verse 1. And it was all the things he began to do. Jesus being the king is the doer. That's what that Proverbs verse was about. That Jesus, he has a growing population of his kingdom being people like you and I, being doers of the word and demonstrating the name of Jesus in the streets, in the supermarkets, in the athletic place, in the football stadium, wherever, we should always be demonstrating the Lord Jesus. And I can't leave without saying Hebrews 13:8 is the Jesus that I want to be ruling and reigning in our lives and in this church. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And most of us could look up the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and say, this is the Jesus of yesterday. And it's true. It is. And then we could look at the book of Revelation and we could say, this is the Jesus of tomorrow. And it is. But the important one is the Jesus of today. And the Jesus of you and him in relationship and demonstrating his glory and his mighty power and what he is. William Booth, the leader of the Salvation Army, said the chief danger of the 20th century, and I would say, and it's even more so of the 21st century, would be a religion without the Holy Spirit, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, politics without God, and heaven without hell. And that's very true. That's a challenge. That's a challenge to every believer to make sure that we look at the truth and demonstrate the truth in our relationship with Jesus as the King. Jesus said in Acts 1:4, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. That is the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8 says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. You shall receive power. Now, I believe in all my heart that when we're baptized in the Spirit, we filled with the Holy Ghost and we speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives us utterance. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Good, I'm glad you believe it. But it really doesn't take us where I believe God wants the Holy Spirit to take us. You shall receive power. Everyone in this building this morning, I believe God wants us to be filled with the Holy Ghost, and that means being filled with power. Power. If you go to the Greek, you will find the word power is dunamis, from which we get the word dynamite, dynamo, and things like that. Just imagine. Dynamite. I was conducting a crusade in my tent in Wales a few years ago. And we always used to have every morning in the tent what we called the hour of power, when we used to meet together to pray for the meetings of the day and especially the crusade meeting at night. We used to have wonderful times. And we were praying there one day when we heard the most horrific explosion. And when, after the meeting, we went to find out what it was, and there was a factory that produced dynamite. And there had been a bad connection, and it had exploded and absolutely destroyed the building. Because that kind of power is very effective. And I believe God wants us filled with the power of God in a positive way that will transform lives. There was a guy, Lloyd-Jones, who used to be the pastor of Westminster Chapel. And during the days of the charismatic renewal that was impacting every denomination and most churches in the nation, they wanted him to speak on the Holy Spirit. And the church was a rank Calvinist church where it believed, you know, that you got saved and that included the Holy Spirit. And so they expected him to speak on it and just deal with this situation. So one day he condescended to do it. And he was preaching, and everything he said just thrilled the congregation. They were so pleased that he was saying, "You get it all." And then he came to his conclusion. You know, a preacher's conclusion is usually pretty important. And this was it. Some people say you get it all at salvation. Get it all at salvation. If you got it all at salvation, where is it? And I would say that to you this morning. If you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, where is it? Where is that demonstration of the power of God through you? Jesus' last words on earth were Mark 16:15. "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe, and they will cast their devils in my name and will speak in new languages." And then in verse 19 and 20 it says, "When the Lord Jesus had finished talking with them, he was taken up into heaven and sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. And the disciples went everywhere and preached, and the Lord worked through them, confirming the word they said by miraculous signs." Well, there we see that Mark said in a few verses what it took Luke 28 chapters to write. But what the disciples really did, Jesus gave the commission, they went out and did what he said, and the Holy Ghost's power was demonstrated wherever they went. And I want to encourage you that from today on, that every day you expect demonstrations of the Holy Spirit, God to use you in the power of God to go out and meet the whosoever, wherever you are, in the supermarkets, in the marketplace, in the home, wherever it is, there is the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, powerfully demonstrated through you. Acts 2:1-4. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven. I'd rather hear from heaven than Westminster or Buckingham Palace or the White House. Anywhere like that, I love hearing from heaven. Say amen if you do. Amen. It's good to hear from heaven constantly. There was a roaring as a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And what I want to bring home to you this morning as well from that is that the moment the Holy Spirit came, they didn't waste any time. They went out and did what Jesus had said and got a harvest. On the first day the Holy Spirit came, 3,000 souls came to Christ and were baptized in water. On the second day of the church, 5,000 came, and they were just men besides the women and children. You can work out how great a crowd that must have been. I can't accept that it would be less than 100,000. And that's the challenge, that we need a big vision. How big is your vision? You've got your pastor, you've got your elders, and they've got visions, and I'm sure they impart them to you constantly and keep freshening it up, because vision can go stale unless it's freshened up by the Spirit and the challenge that is around us. And so I believe we need that freshness of the Holy Spirit every day. I don't know about you, but I ain't been awake many seconds before I want to speak in tongues and get a little bit of refreshment for the new day. You know, yesterday was wonderful, but I believe today should be better. Amen? Amen. Good. Hallelujah. And so we find Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, "Listen carefully to all the fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake, these are not drunk with new wine, because the pubs ain't open yet, but they are filled with the Holy Ghost." The Holy Ghost should make you active if you've had one over the 8. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And it's cheaper. Peter preached the gospel, though. Whatever else was going on, the gospel had to come. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, then you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So Peter and the apostles were craving that everybody who hears the message should truly repent, get baptized in water and bury the old man and rise in resurrection life and be filled with the Spirit and get on with the same job. In other words, Peter was saying, what I've got, I want you to have it. And I say, what I've got, I want you to have it. You might not think I've got very much, but it's had me going for 53 years anyway, and I'm still looking forward to the coming days. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I just want us to have a look before we go on to the name at Acts 2, 46-47. They worshipped together. Now, we've been doing a bit of that this morning, haven't we? Worshipping together. But they did it every day. Every day. Some people say, oh, I can't be bothered to go to church more than once a week. But they did it every day. They met in the temple. They met in homes. What a fantastic thing is the gospel of the Lord Jesus, the fellowship of the body of Christ in the home. I believe every home should be a sanctified place where God is glorified and Jesus is the center of everything that takes place. Every meal, every visitor who comes, every bit of fellowship. Jesus the center. And shared their meals with great joy and generosity. You know, I'm living in a place for retirement people. And most of the folks there don't know the Lord, although I'm working on them. But I just love to get people to come into my little shack and have a cup of coffee with me, or come and into the restaurant and have a meal with me. There's something powerful about that, that Christians need to do, especially, you know, reaching out to the non-Christians, reaching out to unconverted family, reaching out to neighbors. Around a meal table is a wonderful place to do it. And I guess you've had Alpha in the church, and you know, it took on this principle in some ways, and it's gone around the world to millions of people have done it and come to the Lord. But we need to keep it going. It needs to be, you know, going day in and day out. And all while praising God and enjoying goodwill with all the people. And each day the Lord added to the fellowship those who were being saved. Every day. Every day. You know, if there was a passion in us that we wanted to win a soul to Jesus every day, it would be great, wouldn't it? You know, 100 people here going out to try and win a soul each. And if, you know, 100 goes to try and win one and only 10 did, the church would sure be growing at 10 a day. Amen? And we mustn't be afraid that it didn't go like we wanted it to go. You know, you don't get disappointed because you didn't get one. Well, I thank God that I was able to witness to that one, and I praise God that somebody else in the church has led somebody to the Lord, and I rejoice at that. I just want to read you a verse that really hit me in my devotions. It's Hebrews 6, verse 11 and 12. Our great desire is that you will keep on loving each other as long as life lasts, in order to make certain that what we hope for will come true. Then you will not become spiritually dull. and indifferent. Instead, you will follow the example of those who are going to inherit God's promises because their faith and endurance. Isn't that terrific? We don't want to be dull and indifferent. We need to be loving each other as the body of Christ. Isn't that great? Loving each other. Not just words, but reality of really being committed to one another. Hallelujah. You know, there was a guy who was a good, solid Anglican evangelical. We knew him well. He loved the Lord, and he kept on telling people about Jesus. And one day, he got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And this was his testimony. I spent years, more than 10 years, as an evangelical, and I tried every day to win people to Christ. I got baptized in the Spirit, and then the first day I led somebody to Jesus, and I've been leading people to Jesus ever since. In other words, the baptism in the Holy Spirit causes us to become fruitful in winning souls to Christ. We become part of the harvest. Hallelujah. Okay, Acts chapter 3, verse 6. The man at the gate, beautiful, had never walked in 40 years. Peter and John are passing by, and he's looking for a coin in his hat. And Peter says, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk." Now, the key to this is so important. In other words, you can't give what you haven't got. I say it again. You can't give what you haven't got. This guy had sat there for years. He was 40 years old, and he had never walked in his life. And they used to put him there for the people to give a gift that he could have some food. And there he was, and Peter and John come along, freshly filled with the Holy Spirit, and they see the guy and remember him, that he can't walk. And they walk up to him, and the guy gets out his begging bowl and says, "Give me a coin." And Peter says, "Silver and gold I don't have, but what I have got, I'm going to give you." Oh no, how much God longs for every one of us to realize that he wants us to have what Peter and John had, that you can say, "What I've got, I'll give you. What you've got, I'll give you. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk." Hallelujah. You know, I was up in Rhonda a few months ago, and I hadn't been there before, and the pastor of the church, a great guy, had in his church a lady crippled with arthritis. And she come to the place where she felt she couldn't go along to church anymore because she was so crippled up. And so she stopped going. This was a few weeks before I was invited along for a weekend mission. And when the pastor knew that I was going to do a healing service, he got round this lady and persuaded her to come to the meeting. And she came. And when I preached and then invited people to come forward, boy, she was out the front, the first. Hallelujah. And when I went along to pray for her, in the name of Jesus, I lifted up my hand and I didn't even get to touch her. I just, in the name of Jesus, and she was on the floor. And she got up completely healed. That's the power there is in the name of Jesus. Reinhard Bonnke used to preach, the name of Jesus is as powerful as his physical presence. That's a challenge. But I believe each one of us should have that vision of it in our minds. The name of Jesus is as powerful as his physical presence. You see, Acts 4:33, the apostle testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. God's great blessing was upon them. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. The name of Jesus is a name of a person who's alive. And they witness, and we witness, to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. I can never preach on this, and probably have done it here before, about, you know, saying that the moment you start talking about the resurrection and Jesus being raised from the dead out in Africa, the moment you say it, they all start clapping and jumping up and cheering that Jesus is alive. I think it's time that the resurrection of the Lord Jesus excited us more than it does. That we get excited about the fact that Jesus is alive. Easter is coming. Okay, Good Friday will come, but Easter Sunday will come, and I shall be there on Good Friday before Easter Sunday. Because I remember Jesus did die, but he rose from the dead, and he's alive. And he's alive with us there right now. Amen and amen. Jesus is alive. He lives in the power of his name. And when we speak that name in faith and under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, the resurrection power of the Lord is there. And if you're sick, I expect you to go home healed. If you're bound, I expect you to go home free. If you're poverty-stricken, I expect you to go home prosperous. I expect God to meet you and bless you. We didn't just come to have a meeting. We came to meet with Jesus, the Jesus that's alive. Hallelujah. And I see the old clock's going too fast for me. Hallelujah. Just to mention, Philip, he was one of the crowd that met with Jesus, were filled with the Holy Ghost, and persecution came, and everybody left and went somewhere from Jerusalem. And Philip, in Acts 8:12, ends up in Samaria, which was the city and that was not part of the Jewish faith and all the rest of it. Just like us going somewhere where there's no live church and all the rest. That's Philip went. But now the people believed Philip's message of good news concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. And as a result, many men and women were baptized. And so we find that it starts in Acts 1 and it goes right on through the book of Acts, and Philip, he has amazing results, but it trickled through to Jerusalem, and the people in Jerusalem sent the apostles down to Samaria. And as soon as they arrived, they prayed for these new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. Now, Peter and John came down, and the moment they heard the people had been saved and baptized in water, they prayed for them to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, because they didn't want to leave Christians without the Holy Ghost. And we need to cherish the Holy Ghost and appreciate it and honor it more and more and more. You might call yourself a Pentecostal, but if you do, then demonstrate the Pentecostal experience again and again. And Philip went on, and he goes to the Chancellor of the Exchequer of Ethiopia, and you can go to Mr. George this week if you want, the Chancellor of Exchequer, tell him about Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, when he got there, he sat down by the Ethiopian eunuch, baptized him in water, and he got filled with the Holy Ghost. As we move on, I want to just close this morning. The Holy Spirit. There's only one Holy Spirit. There's not such a thing as Holy Spirits. There's only one Holy Spirit. And I want you to get your faith fixed on this. The Holy Spirit in you is as good as the Holy Spirit in anyone else. The Holy Spirit in you is as good as the Holy Spirit in Billy Graham. The Holy Spirit in you is as good as the Holy Spirit in Reinhard Bonnke. The Holy Spirit in you is as good as the Holy Spirit in Alan. We need to grasp this, because I believe that so often Christians are limiting themselves because they feel they're not as good as the next one. I don't care. It's not an issue of pride, because you're not talking about you. You're talking about the Holy Spirit in you. That's the important thing. And there's only one Holy Spirit. And so the potential in you is as good as the potential in Reinhard Bonnke, Billy Graham, Alan, or Ben, or anyone else. The Holy Spirit in you is as good as the Holy Spirit in anyone else. Come on. Give him glory. Give him praise. Thank him. Thank the Holy Spirit for being in you. The third person of the Godhead lives in you and lives through you. Galatians 5:16-18. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. We need Holy Spirit continual refreshing in our lives constantly. Ephesians 5:18. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we know that the Greek word there is in the continual tense. So it's go on being filled with the Holy Ghost every day. And I hope that if you don't remember anything else, you should go home for lunch, and that you'll chat around the table about it, that the Holy Spirit in you is as good as the Holy Spirit in anyone else. Hallelujah. And so be filled, and if you've never been filled or you've dried up, come out and let us pray for you this morning. If you are filled, remember, go on being filled. Have a fresh filling. I had one sitting in that chair before I got up here. I don't know what's happened to you, but you can have another filling, and we can lay hands on you, and you can break forth into new rivers. I love what it says about Jesus, that out of our innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Not just a river, not a stream or a trickle, but rivers. Everybody say rivers. Rivers. Say it again. Rivers. Out of our innermost being shall flow rivers. Turn to the person next to you and say, there's some rivers in you. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? I often pray, Lord, let out of my innermost being flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. You have to come to Christ. You have to repent of your sin. You have to believe that Jesus died and rose again from the dead. You have to know the power of the blood of Jesus to cleanse and wash all the sin out of your life, to set you free from the law, so you're not under condemnation, but you're living in the life of Jesus. I want to ask you, in my very closing thought this morning, has Jesus Christ come into your life? If he has, when did it happen? For me, it happened on the 18th of October, 1954. I was there when it happened. That's how I know. And it's as real to me, sit here, as it was that day, as I was led to the Lord. And the guy who led me to the Lord showed me the Bible and said, this the book with God in it. I've been discovering God in it ever since. And then he turned around and said, it's also God's love letter to you. So I had a look at Genesis, and I looked at Revelation, I looked all over the place, and I found God keeps on loving me, because that's who he is. When did Jesus come into your life? Could you stand up here and give a date? If you can't give the date, you can give the period of time. If you can't, you need to come to Jesus this morning and receive him into your life. Let us pray. As we're bowed in prayer, think seriously. Have you ever committed your life to the Lord publicly and personally? If not, then today is your day, and I'd love to have the privilege to pray for you. So I'm going to ask you in a minute to just lift your hand up if you want me to pray with you for Christ to become real in your life. And then, if you once knew the Lord in a powerful and real way, but it's dried up and slipped away, and you want to come back to the Lord, at the cross where I first saw the Lord, and the burden of my heart rolled away. You have to come back to the cross again, because there's no other way but to the cross to make a fresh commitment. So with our eyes closed and our heads bowed, just slip your hand up if you'd like us to pray for you. You want to get right with God, you want to receive Jesus into your life, or you want to make a recommitment of your life to the Lord. Will you just slip your hand up? God bless you, madam. God bless you, madam. Thank you. Thank you, madam. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. If you're not sure, make sure. Bless you. Thank you. Anyone else? God bless you. Praise the Lord. This is what we're going to do. We're going to stand, and then I'm going to pray. So would you please stand? Everybody stand. Father, I pray for these many people that have raised their hands to indicate they want prayer. They want to know Jesus in an intimate and committed way. Would you please grant them the gift of repentance and a genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they pass from death to life, from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of the Son of your love, that they'll know in a reality what it is to be born again and filled with the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. Remain standing in prayer. I'm going to ask all those who raised their hands to come to the front so we can pray personally with you. And I would like you to come and come along to the sort of right-hand side of the platform, those who raised their hands. People who want us to be praying for them, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, or to be refilled with the Holy Spirit, come on the left-hand side of the platform and we'll pray for you. And in the middle, those that are sick and want to be healed, you come. So can we have some music, please? Where is...